Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is Mickey Krim, who is a legend among slot hustlers. Mickey, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Hi, how you doing today?
We're doing well, thank you. Mickey and I were recently co-interviewees on the Risk of Ruin podcast. I've had a lot of positive feedback from that. Has anybody mentioned it to you, Mick?
When John Reeder put the link up on Twitter, I retweeted it. I have about 1,100 followers on Twitter, and I retweeted it, and I got many positive comments. No negative comments. So I think people enjoyed it. And my brother, I just talked to my brother. He enjoyed it. He knows nothing about gambling, and he enjoyed it. He's listened to all my podcasts, but he liked that one the best. So.
Yeah, John Reeder does a real good job on that. Hopefully Gambling with an Edge, he likes second best. If he doesn't, don't tell us. Now, in that podcast, you mentioned you had a serious heart attack, and so now you're forced to slow down some. So yeah. Let's talk about how you've adapted to not having the health and energy you used to have.
I haven't been out of state since I had the heart attack. That was November, was a year ago, so it's been 15 months. And the Montana Bar Casinos, which I've gone over in prior podcasts, are tailor-made for a guy that can't do the physical like he used to be able to. These are small casinos that only a couple thousand square feet. I'm able to park right in front of them, walk inside, do whatever I want to do, and back out in my vehicle. And I can go around, I can go shopping, things like that. What is tough for me, and I've done it a few times now, like the nearest big casino is over in Idaho at Coeur d'Alene Casino, Wortley, Idaho. And, you know, in those type of big casinos, you got a big parking lot, you got a big casino floor, and you got a big hotel. And when you bolt your machines like I do, it's a ton of walking involved because you're making laps around those machines all day. So that end of it was pretty tough. So I went and bought a power chair, a mobility scooter, which made things a lot easier. As a matter of fact, I'm the fastest person in the place when I'm on my mobility scooter. You pass people up, except I think some of these mobility scooters go too fast. I could see someone wrecking and hurting themselves because they can go up to 15 miles an hour. And mine only goes 4 miles an hour, but I can tell at that speed, if I was to bump into something, I could hurt myself. But it has made it a lot easier. But then when you go with a mobility scooter, you have to have a way to get it in and out of your vehicle. So now it breaks down into four parts, fit into the trunk, but it weighs 126 pounds. Total, so I got to break all those parts down, put them in the trunk. That's too much work. So I switched to a van with a ramp to use the power chair. But since that time, I thought I was going to be in that type of health forever. But I just steadily improved since I had the heart attack to the point to where I don't think I need the chair on the big properties anymore. I had two stents put in. There were two blockages in my heart. Stents are a great thing. I didn't know anything about them before I had a heart attack. I had two blockages. They put in two stents, and it's been 15 months. I've just gotten progressively better. My checkups have gone from every month to every 3 months. They've taken me off of certain medications. So I've just kept getting better, and I've just gotten stronger and stronger with the walking. So I've got a power chair sitting right over there. I don't know if you guys can see it or not, but that's all it does. It just sits there. You can see it right there.
Actually, Richard and I can see it, but we're not There's no video on this podcast, so others will have to imagine it. Now, if you go back to Oklahoma, or when you go back to Oklahoma,
I'll take it with.
They have a lot of large casinos. I assume you're going to take the
largest
chair
in the world,
just in case.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but I plan on using it in the largest casino in the world, which is WinStar. And they have a pretty good video poker play in there. And I'll be playing more video poker than I did when I was down there before. The vulturing is actually worth more money than the video poker. But since, you know, I can't do the walking that I used to do, I'll be using that chair in WinStar, because from the hotel to the poker room, if you walk from the hotel through the casino to the poker room, it's a 1 mile walk.
Wow.
The casino is, they've got 8,500 machines in it at last count. Largest casino in the world. It's not a very wide casino, only a couple hundred feet, but it's very long. It's shaped like an inverted seven. It's very long. And from the hotel through the casino to the poker room on the other end, it's 1 mile. And everything is, as sections in there. Luckily for me, the first section from the hotel is the London section. The bar tops in there have a pretty good video poker play. They've got 9-6 jacks and NSUD, 50 cent and dollar. So there's 4 meters you can look at to see which one you want to play. If it's a low number, I go with the NSUD. High number, I go with the 9-6 jacks. That's close to the hotel. That's easy to get back and forth to. And then two sections down is the Rome section. And they also, in their bar tops, they have the same setup, but on different meters. It's 50 cent and dollar, 9-6 jacks, and NSUD, half percent meter. And so you got 4 meters there to pick through. I usually park at the Madrid section, which is between London and Rome, and I'll check the Rome meters on my way to the hotel. And I have to go through the London section to get to. And so I'll know where all the meters are once I get into the hotel room, which meter I want to play. And they were sending me the free play. I always got more. It's a real hard system to figure out. I never got it figured out total. It's like the points you run are like hardly worth. They're just like worth nothing. It's the free play they send you either through the mail or through their website. You just go on and you know log into your account to find out what you got coming. And I would usually go in with $200 in free play, two nights in a hotel, and a buffet comp. And I would play the 200 free play often, and like an hour later, there's a little cherry on the card reader. When it lights up, you got some free play coming. It would light up, and there'd be another $100 in free play. And then and while I'm there for 2 days, sometimes 4 days, that cherry would just keep lighting, and I would have free play there. So sometimes when I would go in, I would run off $400 or $500 in free play, and I wasn't running that much action. You know, I got the whole thing started running 11,000 in action, and on a 2 day trip, I would generally run about 20,000 in action, because I concentrated not so much on video poker but the vulture games, because it was just worth more money. It was a better hourly rate than the video poker. And then especially if there were nothing but low numbers in the video poker. But I would generally only run in 2 days. I'd run 20,000. And they kept sending me, they would send me every month, they sent me three 2 day packages in the hotel. And I would use 2 to 3 packages a month. So along with the free play. And they also, I would get 5 or 6 pieces of mail a month from them. It was always some free play or a free day in a hotel, maybe 2 days. So I could have probably done 10, 12 days a month in a hotel if I wanted to. But, and, you know, from the maps I sent you, there were a lot of casinos in Oklahoma that I was running. And so, but I used WinStar as kind of a little vacation stop where I just hold up for a few days. And I would take two packages and then butt them together and do 4 days.
Did you have a lot of competition there the way there is in other places? Not for the video poker, but for the slots?
Not for the I seen one person that knew what they were doing playing video poker. Now, the London Bar Top, there were like 2 dozen machines that had this game. They're multi-game machines, and not everybody plays the progressives. But I only seen one person there, and that was when the Royal got up pretty good. The highest one I played for was 8,400. They got to before it got hit. Now, for the Vulturing, yes, there is competition there. And that's what you run into everywhere you go nowadays. Except I did have spots where I didn't see anybody. And you really got to get out in the boondocks nowadays for there not to be any Vulture there at all. Any person Vulturing machines. And I suspect that when I get back down there, which I'm waiting on the COVID vaccine now before I make a move on that, I suspect I'll see more people working the advantage slots my next time down.
So Oklahoma is more than 1,000 miles from Montana.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be going back and forth. You would have to get mailers. You kind of have to be in Oklahoma for an extended period of time, and presumably you would have a mailbox in Oklahoma.
No, I have someone do my mail for me in Montana. At least I did for the 2 years I was on the road. For the 2 years I was on the road out of state, I had a roommate, and he would take pictures of my mail and send to me. But then I figured out that you just go to their website, the casino's website, and you go into your account, the Players Club account, and everything you get through the mail is logged on. You don't need the mail. You don't have to have the mail in person. There was a few instances where I had to have the mail in my hand, but it was only a couple. Most of the stuff you just do from they list it on their website, you know, in your Players Club account, what you have coming every month. WinStar does that. Another stop in Oklahoma was Indigo Sky that had 9-6 jacks with 0.25% raw meter, 0.25% straight flush meter. And they also had a lot of vulturable games, and there was competition in there, but I still got plenty of plays. Indigo Sky is up in Northeast Oklahoma. It's about 15 miles from Joplin, Missouri. It's not that big a casino. They do have a hotel there. They sent me 4 days a month. I would only run about 10,000 in action on the 9-6 jacks. The rest of my action was all on the Vulture machines. And that was a good stop. I liked, and the little towns around there were pretty neat little towns. Now, it's Wyandotte, Oklahoma is the name of the town. And then also up in that section at Miami, Oklahoma. Now, there's a little town up in northeastern Oklahoma. It's called Miami, but it's spelled just like Miami, Florida, except you're not in Florida. You're in Oklahoma, so the locals call it Miami. And if you go in there, you're from out of town, and you call that town Miami, they're going to give you some rough looks because they're not from Florida. They live in Oklahoma, and it's pronounced Miami. That's the way you have to pronounce it. Well, anyways, there are six casinos that surround that town, and one of them is called Buffalo Run, and they have 9-6 jacks and NSUD .5% meter in theirs. Now, they're pretty scrimpy on the free play, but they were sending me two days a month in a hotel. But their free play now only $15-$20 a month, about all they can budge. Now, if you want to gamble there, you can gamble with them because they have triple play, five play, 10 play NSUD where you can bet up to $50 a hand if you want to. The card's worth a tenth of a percent. But don't look for much in the way of free play, but they will send you a couple days, a month in a hotel, maybe a $10 meal come up.
Okay. So, Mick, when you started saying next trip to Oklahoma, you were going to play more video poker and less hustleable slots. Did I hear you right?
Yeah.
And why would that be?
That's because for health reasons, because I can't do the walk. And even though I've gotten stronger, I'm still limited. And at least that has been my plan. Maybe I'll change it up. But if I keep getting stronger, I just don't know. It's the first time I ever had a heart attack. You know, if you'd asked me 6 months ago, I'd have said, man, I don't have much time to live. You know, well, that's all changed. I can tell I've just gotten stronger and stronger. And the doctor told me it takes like a year for stents to really set up, you know, in your veins. And so I've gotten stronger and stronger. It's a new experience for me. So if I'm not in that good of health when I go down, then I'll pick on the video poker a lot more. If I can do it, I'll do more than likely do the vaulting more because there's more money in it.
And, well, with your scooter, though, you should be able to get around pretty good.
Yeah, I think so. I'm set up now because I sold my car, bought a van, and bought a ramp so I don't have to disassemble this chair. I just run it up into the van, run it out. And that makes it easy because I was always, like I told you about Miami, Oklahoma, where there's six casinos. This is around the town. Well, I would go through Vulture, and I would go through all the six of those casinos in a day. So I'm set up now to where I can just run a chair. A couple of them casinos are too small to even run a chair in. But a few of them are big enough, probably need the chair. But so anyways, I'm set up for it now. I'm kind of doing all these things a little bit at a time. And I had the winterize the van. I got all that taken care of. Of course, down in Oklahoma, they don't get any winters. We're in below zero right now, snowing. We've had about 14 inches of snow in the last few days, and it's below zero. So we finally got hit with a winter in Montana. It had been pretty mild up until a few days ago.
Well, you... for much of your gambling career, you've been living pretty close to the bone with, like, no car and couldn't even afford hotel rooms. And sometimes you'd have to ride the trains.
No. My gambling career, right from the start, put a roof over my head and plenty of money. You know, I had within a few weeks of finding my first play, I had a $5,000 bankroll. Within a few months, I had a $20,000 bankroll, and that's been 20 years ago. I have not been broke since the day before I started playing machines. That was 1996, the last time I was broke.
Good. When you had the health issues and you couldn't get out, that would be a lousy time to be broke.
You wouldn't believe what I was doing for 2 years. I knew I wasn't getting any younger, and I had been doing it for several years anyway. I don't want to talk about exactly what I got, but I'm in six figures for bankroll. But I had started my last few years, I wasn't spending a third of what I made. I was making over $100,000 a year, and I was not even spending a third of it. I'd been banking money for years. And so then I had a heart attack, and I'm like, I had a heart attack, I filed for Social Security. And so now I'm drawing Social Security. I still got my bankroll. I still make money in the casinos around Montana. My income dropped off this past year down to 42. As far as what I make off machines, it dropped down to, I made 42,000. And that's because the heart attack put me in bad shape. Then the shelter at home, you know, that they shut everything down in Montana for a couple of months. The casinos were closed. And then when they opened up, with shorter hours. And there's restrictions on the number of people and all this sort of thing. And then with my help, you know, I couldn't put in the hours that I used to. But I still, you know, I still haven't spent a dime out of my bankroll. I don't know what to do with it. I might put it. I'm probably going to put it in mutual funds or something.
Uh-huh. Well, sure people will be glad to help you get rid of your bankroll.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't carry my bankroll around with me. You know, I carry just enough to operate. But I'm not, in this next coming years, I'm not looking for the stock market to hold up. I'm not an expert, but I'm not looking for it to hold up.
Now, when you go down to Oklahoma, there are other states in that area with casinos. Yeah. Do you stop elsewhere?
Yeah, I branched off quite a bit. Now, when I left Montana, I would drop down to New Mexico. And in New Mexico, you got there's half dozen casinos that surround Albuquerque. Okay, and on the north side of Albuquerque is a little town of Bernalillo. At the Santa Ana Star, they had a dollar almost positive. This is wild. 99.96% game, and it had a 1% meter on it. There were no card benefits. When I found it, no card benefits, and they had cut that off. I ran into an old friend down there that I had known since 2000. And he's a pretty sharp gambler, and he knows his stuff pretty good. And he told me that he had come through there in 2002, and he found $5 almost positive deuces wild with 1% meter. And he camped out on that play for a dozen years. And he was the only one working, and no one in the country knew about it but him at Bernalillo, New Mexico. And he just moved to he still lives there. He got so used to living there, he still lives there. And he was getting besides the video poker play, the card was worth 2/10, and he's getting 2x and a 3x multiplier every week, one day a week. So it was a pretty good play, you know, on a $5 level, and you know, that carries a pretty high hourly rate. And he told me they eventually, when they took that out, they left the dollar bank alone, but eventually they disqualified the card from the dollar bank. But I would still play that dollar bank. I would go through vulturing, and if I seen a high number, I would sit down and play for a couple hours. But I never did hit a roll on it. But rolls weren't my primary objective in those spots anyway. The vulturing was just too good. And then there's a line of five casinos between Santa Fe and Española, New Mexico. It's about a 30-mile run. Five casinos in there. The one casino in there, Buffalo Thunder at Pewaukee, New Mexico. They sent me 4 comp days a month in the hotel. And that was the only room comp I got in New Mexico was from them. And I would take that 4 days, and from where they were at, there was 2 casinos to the west, 2 casinos to the east, and I would just run back and forth between those casinos, vulturing while I was there. And in Albuquerque, I just rented an extended stay when I was there, and then run through those casinos every day. Isleta on the south side. Now, Isleta did have a, at one time, 9-6 jacks with a 0.5% meter. But they eventually took it out. And so there was Isleta. There's the racetrack has a casino. The racetrack right in Albuquerque, Albuquerque Downs, I think it's called. They have a casino, Sandia Casino. And then there's Route 66 on I-40 west of town. And then there's a There's a casino up north of Sandia on Interstate 25. I can't remember. Black something casino. Black Mountain Casino or something like that. I can't remember the name. They were pretty good vulturing back then. I don't know how it is now because I haven't been down there, like I said, in over 15 months.
All right. We're going to take a brief commercial break, and then we have a lot more questions for Mickey Krim. The South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. The promotion in February is free play with a kicker. For players already receiving free play, they pick up their normal amounts Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, or Wednesday. And if they do that, they receive the same amount the following Friday or Saturday. You make all 8 pickups, and on Monday, March 1st, receive a double-sized free play pickup. So instead of 4 dates in the month to pick up free play, you will have 9. But one of them's doubles, which makes 10 sized. President's Day, there's a $30,000 hot seat promotion where every 3 minutes between 8 a.m. and midnight, some player with his card inserted and has played at least $1 in the previous minute will earn $100 in free play. At predictit.org, there's a market where you can place small bets on the occurrence of various political events, mostly but not entirely in the United States. The election is over. Current active markets has to do with how many votes for conviction on the impeachment trial and which cabinet members will and will not be ratified to serve in the cabinet. Our listeners receive a one-time offer of a deposit match up to $20 at predictit.org/promo/edge. You must play the money through once and cannot withdraw it for 30 days. BlackjackApprenticeship.com is an excellent site for those of you who wish to be successful at counting cards at blackjack. The primary value of the membership are a video course, training suite, members forum, pro betting software, casino database, result tracking software, members only podcast, and the members chat room. At videopoker.com, the best place to play many games. If you sign up for the gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on many games. The game of the week is Super Triple Play Jackpots, and it's a game for those who wish to gamble. It requires 7 coins per line. The first extra coin bumps up all the values for the 4 of a kind. The second extra coin provides you with with a wheel spin whenever you end up with a 4 of a kind. Since these quads only come around once every 420 hands or so, it's a heaven or hell experience. If you don't get many quads today, you're not going to like this game. If you do, you will. All right, we're back to Mickey. Now, running 300 and some miles through Oklahoma is Interstate 40, which is notorious for stopping cars and confiscating money, and they call it forfeiture. Have you been able to evade that?
Civil land said forfeiture. I was pulled over 4 times in Oklahoma, and the cops involved didn't ask me any type of questions like that, you know, about are you carrying cash. And I'm running Montana plates, but I don't know why. I just never got asked. I got a couple speeding tickets. I got 2 warning tickets and 2 tickets. It's easy. You down there, when you're off the interstate and you're running these towns on a U.S. highway, single lane highway, you got all kinds of speed zones. So you got the fast zones and the slower zones, and it's easy to miss one, you know, because I try to pay attention to it. But I get to daydreaming or whatever, and I miss it. So I got pulled over, and I had to pay. Both tickets cost me a couple hundred dollars each. And one of them even cost me points on my license because I was over 20 miles higher than the speed limit. Which, that reminds me, it didn't happen in Oklahoma. It happened in North Dakota. I got pulled over because I was in a 70, but I missed the 55 zone somehow. So I'm in a 55 thinking I'm in a 70, and I was doing 75 out. And so the cop pulls me over, and I go, what, do you guys pull people over here for just doing 5 miles over speed limit? And he goes, just 5 miles over? What are you talking about? And I go, well, I was doing 75 in a 70. And he goes, oh, no, you're in a 55. Oh, okay. And so he writes me a ticket, and he says, now, he says, I let you go at 74 miles an hour, so it won't cost you any points. He goes, I like it when people are honest with me. And he goes, this ticket will cost you $11. If you had lied to me, it would have cost you $25. And I said, well, thank you very much. I couldn't believe speeding was so cheap in North Dakota.
Yeah, it's hardly a this. $14 is, well, it's always good, but it's no big deal.
Yeah.
So you were saying you play a lot of NSU and Jacks Are Better progressives. Yeah. Do you do a maximum EV strategy or do you use another one?
Well, now I used to play 9/6 quarter game and Reno progressive with strong meters on it. Against full banks. In other words, there's 10 machines and they're all taken. Everybody's a pro. The number to come in on the quarter bank was $2,400. And you play until the Royal hits. Well, there's 10 machines going 1,000 miles an hour or better. The Royal only lasts a few hours. And I would use a max EV in that setting because everybody else is. And I know I'm not going to be tied up for ages. It's not like I'm going to be going up to the hotel room getting some sleep, coming back down to the bank. So in that situation, I would use max EV. But in a situation like down in Oklahoma, where I'm only playing for a couple hours, a few hours, I'm only running about 20,000 in action, you know, and I'm going back and forth to the hotel room, sleeping and coming back, I didn't feel like running a max EV strategy because I'm not a favorite, or I'm not equal to get the Royal as everyone else playing. And so I would just use the Royal based, use a strategy based on a 4,000 coin Royal. And in that spot, because I really was not there for Royal play and putting in long hours. And I never liked building numbers for so that more players come in after the number gets high and makes you a bigger dog to get the Royal than you were. So, but I would start out on NSUD and then switch to 96 Jacks when the number got up. Usually around, I think the break-even number is around 6,200, somewhere 64, somewhere there, I can't remember now. To where 96 Jacks is a stronger game, but also the difference in the Royal odds, like NSUD, I think is around 45,000 to start with, and 96 is 40,000. But, you know, if you're playing max EV, there's a big difference because I think NSUD only drops down to like 36,000 where 96 will drop down to around 32,000. So, but I'm not, Royal play was not my primary objective to be there. So I didn't want to burn up. I didn't want to take the higher drop. In other words, breaking the high pairs to draw to the three card Royals, which is most of it. I didn't want to take that higher drop when I know I'm not going to be putting in that much time on the bank. And someone else is more likely going to get the Royal. Now, I don't know if I was correct in doing that or not, but that's the way I did it.
Uh-huh. I don't know either. I would not have done that. Excuse me. Because you're not getting the you're not spending enough time today to get the Royal, but you're spending 2 hours today and 2 hours tomorrow and 2 hours whatever. So over time, you will get your fair share of the Royals.
Yeah, I think you're right. And at the time, I had planned on continuing to pick on that bank, you know, every month. But unfortunately, the heart attack got in the way. And that slowed me down on that. So next time around, but I'll tell you something else I also didn't like was doing all the breakpoints above, like on 96 jacks.
Uh-huh.
The big difference in the max EV strategy from 4,000 coin roll strategy is playing the three card rolls over the high pairs.
Yes.
And you only have to get up around a 6,000 coin roll. I think you got all of those breaks covered. So what do you continue to change as the more and more break points come in? And that mostly has to do with two card royals. So I think when I was playing that the $2,400 royals in Reno on the quarters, I used a strategy based on that, which I think was a 7,200 coin royal, and I didn't change. I didn't memorize any breakpoints above that. And the reason why is I think from punching in on Wynn Poker, the difference is just it just doesn't increase your royal odds all that much after the main breaks, which is the three card royals over the high pairs.
Right.
After that, making those breaks don't improve your odds all that much.
Mick, yes. Mick, I wanted to ask you, you know, you're over 60 and you've had a heart attack, so you're in a really high-risk group if you get COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, but you're back out going into casinos. Are you not concerned about that?
I go in the mornings. I'm up. I'm a day person. And the casinos open at 8 and they're not busy. Now I don't generally have to worry about them getting busy until around lunchtime. And I may, avoid some spots during lunchtime, and then up in the afternoon, if I walk in the place is packed, which I've seen many times, I'll just turn around, go back out the door and then I'll look at the time. I'm not supposed to be working this long anyway, you know, but, in the bars, people are not wearing the masks. There's bad enforcement on wearing the mask. I wear a mask everywhere I go. People are not wearing the mask. And the law in Montana is you have to wear a mask in the inside. Once you sit down, you can take the mask off. No parties more than six. But these people are getting up, going to the bathroom everywhere around the place. No mask. And they're sitting there and they're drinking beer. And I know this from my drinking days. If you are right in front of a person drinking beer and talking with them, and they're talking to you, you can feel spit hitting your face sometimes. I've felt it many times, being too close to someone when they're drinking beer and talking to me. They got a very wet mouth from the beer. They're talking and that spit is coming out. So I see these people in there and they're all crowded up. And they're drinking beer and they're spitting all over each other. And so I avoid those spots. I'm waiting on the COVID vaccine. In my state, the governor changed up the CDC guidelines. He lowered the 75 age group down to 70. I'm in the next group. We're still waiting on him to finish the first group. You can only make an appointment every Thursday online. My county, we've had, where it's a population of 82,000, there have been about 8,000 people that have received first shots so far. And they're still in the first group, the 70 and older group. And now I've been watching online every Thursday when they open up for reservations. They're only doing about 1,500 a week in Cascade County and first-time shots. And this coming Thursday, I'll see if if it's changed up to my group or not. But if you don't make a reservation that day, you can forget it till the next week, because the 1,500 spots will be taken up within the day. And so, you know, and I monitor that situation. I'm waiting for the first and the second shot, and hopefully sometime in the next month I get the first shot. And after I do, I'm going to take a trip to Oklahoma. But I want that fortification. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I've been poked by every vaccine known to man. I've had everything since I was a kid. Never been afraid of a vaccine. I don't have reactions. So that end of it, I'm not worried about. I know that, you know, you can't count on the vaccine to be fully effective. But I'm still going to socially distance, even in casinos. And, you know, and keep that going. And it looks to me like it might be going on for the rest of my life, you know, at this point, you know. So that's what I'm doing anyways. I hope everybody else does the same. You just can't be careful enough. And now, I had a 90-year-old aunt that just survived COVID.
Wow.
Down in Mississippi, my Aunt Margaret, yeah. She survived, yeah.
I have a, in my case, I'm over 70, and as the podcast is being aired, I've already had the first shot and will have the second shot next week. And it's supposed to be 2 or 3 weeks after your second shot.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be you're going to be as vaccinated as you can get. So... But I'm still nervous about going out in the middle of the day. In my case, when I'm in casinos, it's generally between the hours of about 2 and 5 in the morning where casinos are largely empty.
Yeah. Well, one thing I don't do anymore is eating in restaurants. I quit that. I cook it. The reason I stay in extended stays now when I'm traveling is because – the cooking, I can cook at home. I can cook at the hotel.
You'd make somebody a good wife, Mickey. So, unfortunately, I already have one, so they're not running for me. All right. So, any other plays other than New Mexico and Oklahoma you'd like to share, or is that about it?
Well, you know, you asked me. I don't think I fully answered the question about any other states I hit around Oklahoma. Yeah, uh-huh. I made trips down to Louisiana, down to I-10. I didn't find any good video poker plays down there, and they've got those video poker parlors down there besides the big casinos. Not that many big casinos in Louisiana, but I went through all the casinos in Louisiana, around Shreveport. I went to Coushatta, Marksville, the casinos down on I-10. Didn't find anything down that way on video poker that I cared to play. I know there's been plays down there in the past. I know one person in particular, Doug Rule, played down there quite a bit. I don't know what he found up because I didn't find anything. But there and also up in the Midwest, I went through the Midwest. I know there have been some good plays in the Midwest, but the 2 years I went through there, I didn't find anything. And then I would go up into, in summertime, I would go up into Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, up into there. And mostly Vulture, I did find 9-6 jacks in Michigan. A little bit of card benefits, but no cash back or promotions. It would make it worthwhile to play. And that was up at Sault Ste. Marie. Can't remember the name of the casino, but it was Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, right up on the Canadian border, upper peninsula, along in there. I did like... Wisconsin. I found a few smaller casinos in Wisconsin that they were good vulture in there, and no competition there. The let's see, the towns, it was 30 miles between the three casinos. From one end to the other, I'm trying to remember the name. Town, Whittington, I think, Whittington and Kashina. Anyways, three towns. And they had a lot of vulture plays in those three little casinos. And they had a hotel in the area that I stayed in. And I would, in the summertime, I would hang out in that area for a few weeks just because it was nice there. Nice country.
Yeah, but that's a really lovely place to be in June. Not so much fun in January.
But I'm used to that here. But, the hot weather is not something I like. As a matter of fact, that's the reason I would go up that way in the summertime. Cooler weather. Really nice. Upper Michigan. As a matter of fact, those casinos up there get a lot of business in summer and no business in the winter. Like at Manistee, Michigan, the Little River Casino. They do a bang up business in the summer and they're totally empty in the wintertime.
Yep, that figures. All right. Thank you, Mickey. People can reach you by Twitter, is that right?
Yeah, I'm still on Twitter. Yeah.
And is it hashtag Mickey Krim or
how does that work? Yeah, that's it.
Well, at Mickey Krim. We'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah. Very good. So at the end of our show, we usually go for a recommended. Richard, do you have something for us today?
Yeah, I just finished a series on Netflix called Rake. And it is a series from Australia about a barrister, which is like a trial lawyer in Australia. And it's about this guy who's this barrister, and he's basically a total degenerate, complete alcoholic, drug addict, womanizer, gambling degenerate. But he's a criminal, defense attorney. And it's funny. It's a funny show. Really well done. There's like five seasons. I've binged through all of them. So I really enjoyed it. So, yeah, I would say check that out.
Very good. So I don't know if this is a current recommendation. I recently decided to read the print version of The Maltese Falcon, which is the 1930 Dashiell Hammett book, of which there are several movies. The most famous one is Humphrey Bogart in 1941. I've seen the movie a number of times, and it's one of the all-time classics. And I was wondering how much different it was between the book and the movie. And there are quite a few differences. The main one being the movie is a lot more explicit romantically. Sam Spade, the detective, wakes up in the morning with his client, and that definitely does not happen in the movie. The code was enforced a lot more back then. But the gist of the story is still the same, and it was fun read.
I love Dashiell Hammett. Great writer, great book, great movie. Love Sidney Greenstreet and Peter Lorre in that movie.
Yes.
I have one I just thought of. Now it's about 15 years old, but so it was an HBO series called Rome that I just recently had time to watch. It's I think it was only two seasons, so about 20 shows. It lasts about an hour each. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked Rome too.
It was about the time of Julius Caesar. Yeah.
Yeah, I watched all those. Yeah,
that was the last one I watched that
actually,
I can think of.
Mickey, I know you like historical stuff. If you haven't watched Deadwood on
I have.
Yeah, okay.
I watched it when it was on every week on HBO, and then I watched it again on HBO Now not all that long ago, and then watched the movie. I had some problems with the ending of the movie. like with Swearingen, he was, you know, had him, you know, he was still living at the end. He actually, his property actually burned down in Deadwood, and he was later found dead in the streets in Denver. Someone had shot him and killed him. And it was unsolved murder. They didn't know that for years. Someone found a newspaper item about it at the time that it happened. And yeah, that's Deadwood. And I go to Deadwood frequently. And, you know, it's so Deadwood was a very interesting series. And I enjoy Deadwood, the history of it, when I'm there, too. Wild Bill, I've been up to Wild Bill Hickok's, you know, his burial. Calamity Jane is buried right next to him. She has to be buried next to him. I don't think, you know, he was kind of a ladies' man, and I don't think she was in his league, but she has to be buried to him, next to him, and they buried her next to him. And that's an interesting graveyard. It actually sits at the top of a mountain overlooking Deadwood, because it's worthless land, because it's on top of a mountain. And so their graveyard is on Mount Moriarty up there. And that's where all the famous characters of Deadwood are all buried up there.
Very good. Thank you, Mickey. A lot of good information. We appreciate you coming on. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody.
All right, thank you, Bob. Thank you, Richard.